Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, America, this is your president, Sleepy Joe Biden, just letting you know that I'm taking it back to 2003 in the White House tonight. That's right, me and Hunter are playing seminal record Elefunk by the Black Eyed Peas, Loud, Proud, and in Full, and you better believe that my girl Fergie is saying the R word 50 times on track 3, just as our founding fathers wanted her to. God bless this goddamn beautiful country.
Them's the fucking breaks, brother.
I got an email today from Elon Musk. He said he'd give us $1 billion if we changed our podcast name to Gay Fam.
Yeah, well, joke's on him because I already did it for free last week. How's that breeze? You into
it? It's incredible. We had a beautiful cool change in Sydney in the last 15 minutes.
What do
after a wild few days of heat.
What do you call this one? A southwesterly, I think.
Sure. I mean, you're the one who knows the direction of things. Yeah. The truest of Nolan.
I was about to say, I don't know where north is, but I know where Nolan Northwest is. You can put me in any city, in any world. You can blindfold me.
Is he a voice in Spider-Man 2?
Since he's not one of the leads, I'd imagine it's like kind of, maybe he's like a new villain. But I'd be like, if he wasn't one of the like above credit names.
Because you know the guy who played his character in The Last of Us HBO show. So Nolan North plays like the pedo who tries to eat Ellie in The Last of Us game, right?
Oh, I was getting it mixed up with Uncharted because he plays...
Nolan North is Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake. And Troy Baker is Sam, the brother,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
that's right. And he's the pedophile in the churchy guy in the first Last of Us.
Yeah, and so the guy that plays his character is Byron in Killers of the Flower Moon. Leo's brother.
Oh my God, it is too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that meek little looking motherfucker. Lord Byron.
Lord Byron.
I'm going to go catch it again this weekend.
Man, I have not been able to stop thinking about it. As I was watching it, we're going to do get full into this three and a half hour
epic.
You're
about to get fucking plowed by us because we are killing you.
But the whole time watching it, I was like, this is amazing. I don't know if I could ever watch this again. Mm. And then every second since then, I'm like, I wish I was watching this again. Even I went and saw Oppenheimer again yesterday.
Tell them how you saw it.
With my dad at the IMAX.
I love that now we've both seen it with our dads and at an IMAX screening.
Man, you've still seen it two more times than me, and you're gonna go see it again next week.
I'm gonna go see it with someone who hasn't seen it, and I'm like, well, it's on at the IMAX in Sydney.
But I have to admit,
couple recliners. What do you say?
I was very excited watching Oppenheimer, but part of me was like, fuck, I wish I was watching Killers of the Flower Moon again.
But it's not even made for IMAX.
Oh, it looks gorgeous as shit on it.
It looks good, but I mean, when you're watching Oppenheimer, it fills up the screen ground.
Look, man, neither was the Marvels, but I think you and me, I know where we're going to be 2 weeks from now.
November 8th, baby. send that box of pie over here because...
We got invited to the Marvels premiere. Yeah. And my instinct when you sent me the screenshot of the invite was like, nah. And then I read the...
Let's read that invite out. I want to...
No, well, just that it's going to be at the IMAX. And I was like, count me
But it's
in.
Not just a screening. It's a fan event, they're calling it, which I think is very interesting.
I normally think that like DJs who get booked to play the premieres of those films, like the worst shit in the world. But playing at the IMAX? Now you're talking.
Now that's cooking with celluloid.
Have you popped into the bar at the IMAX theater yet?
Is that at the top?
It's like in between.
Yeah.
On the first floor.
Yeah. Man, that building is so futuristic. I feel like I'm getting from the front door from like the civilian area to your seat. It reminds me of the path you take when lining up for a ride at Disneyland.
Right.
There's a story almost. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's almost like a little story to what you're doing.
When I went there to see Killers of the Flower Moon, as I entered the IMAX theater, they were playing the Wonka trailer while with the volume down, and then they had Mr. Brightside playing
awesome.
Over the top.
That's so sick.
And actually worked.
Yeah,
I was like, get the Paddington director on the line.
You know what I mean? Exactly, they're making that shit in there, man. I just still can't get over the fucking futuristic drink machines.
I didn't get. I always bring snacks in.
Yeah, but did you check the machine? You got to go check out.
You got to check, even though you're not getting a drink.
No, I go check them out. Have you seen the
touchscreen frozen Coke
anything.
Ones. What can you add?
Okay,
popcorn.
No, dog. So it's Coke family. So you've got. We're talking Australian Coke. So you have Coke, Vanilla Coke, Coke No Sugar, Sprite, Fanta, Lyft.
Okay.
No, they don't have Lyft anymore. It's like Sprite Lemon or whatever.
That's stupid. Anyway. Bring back Lyft.
Yeah, I know. So Lyft is like a lemon flavor. Lyft is like what lemon other squash. Countries outside of America call lemonade.
Yeah.
So you hit your button, right? So say I want Classic Coke. I'm smashing that. Then what it does, it brings up like four little widgets around it. And it's like, would you like it? Oh, maybe six or eight. And it's like, did you want a shot of something else? So you can add unrelated to like existing Coke flavors. You can add like mango, blueberry, raspberry, vanilla. So you can add vanilla to anything, Sprite, anything. You can add a little shot of it.
Uh-huh.
But they've also got that for the frozen Coke machine. And it's frozen Sprite as well. So you can rock like a frozen Sprite with a shot of raspberry with a bit of Coke. And it's just like, it's like, for, you're doing basically an RSA there. It is crazy. It's chemistry. So cool.
Yeah.
It's so sick. Yeah, I had to get one, even though I wasn't thirsty. I just got a Coke with a shot of...
What did it cost, like $14?
No, it was like, it was pretty respectable, actually. It was like
$7. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I guess the tickets are so expensive. They don't play ads before the movies, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And they probably can lower the price of the food, maybe. I don't know. But that's probably a lie. I'm trying to remember what I got a shot of. It was something you can't normally get. It was probably like blueberry or
okay.
something. I was like, no, it wasn't blueberry. It was something a bit more cool. But awesome opportunities. Oh, wait. Like, there's like...
you can get pretzels, which is
like hot ones.
Hot pretzels. Yeah, nice. Yeah. And nice. You want some sweet ones, some savory.
Oh, that's cool. I had a choc top as well.
Wow.
I was like, I got to eat a choc top. This loves the movie
snacks.
What? Did you have recliner?
Yeah, I paid for the recliner seat for Killers of the Flower Moon, but they're like an extra $12 or something like that. Hmm. So I omitted that part of the...
So you hate your dad?
Well, I was like, I don't think it added anything to it. If anything, I was less comfortable because I kept trying to get myself into a more comfortable spot,
moving
that shit up and down.
Now, I could ask you something.
But the regular chairs, for awesome. You know, they're still expensive, but totally comfortable.
Yeah. I got to ask you something. Was it really hot when you went?
No.
Okay. So when I went to the session, I went to super hot that when they sent an email for the last hour, I had like a film of sweat on my head.
Oh God, that's
speaking about it to somebody that came from work and the next day we was chatting about in the office. This is on Friday morning. And he was like, was it really hot for you as well? I was like, yes. And then they sent me a survey after buying tickets that I normally don't fill out. Like, how was your experience at the IMAX? And I was like, great, great, great. I was like, so hot. Then an independent person reached out to me, another friend who just messaged me on the weekend, knew that I went there because I think I like posted a picture of it and was just like, hey, how good was Flower Moon? Blah, blah. By the way, was your session really hot? I was sweating for the last hour. And this is like a really slight person.
Wait, these all went the same?
Different screenings.
Oh, wow, that's bizarre.
Yeah, different screenings. So I'm a little worried because
I'm wondering if
they just haven't figured out the aircon yet. Or the screen is so big that it's just emitting so much heat that they haven't figured out the combo of aircon.
I sat in two different positions for both movies I've seen so far and was beautiful temperature.
So I was like, I would love it how it is right now in this room with that little brick. You know what I mean? You don't want to be hot in a movie.
Well, I'm used to the opposite. I'm used to being freezing and regretting that I didn't bring a jumper to a movie.
Yeah, but I pack for that now because it's like a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But by the end
bring a tent.
People were like thermals. Sweating. It was so hot.
Yeah, that's
it was like,
the worst.
It was so bad. It was like something was broken and I think.
But I feel like you probably felt like an extra in the movie.
I felt like I was in the film. Yeah. I felt like I was in a jail cell. I felt like I was being interrogated by Southern lawyers. But it admittedly made me quite tired for the last 40 minutes.
Shit. Yeah, right.
Okay. And my session ended at midnight or something crazy. Yeah. Because I saw like a late one. And I was like, fucking hell, this is hot. And I was like quite removed from that final.
Yeah, I'm doing, man, this is the only way I want to watch movies now.
Yeah, 10 a.m.
Midday on a weekday.
So I'm going 10 a.m. Saturday morning to see it. And there's like no one going to that session. No so one's good. Going to like that cinema that I'm going
so
to.
So my dad and I went to 11:45 to Oppenheimer yesterday. Fucking full cinema. Isn't that sick?
That's so... The movies are back, man. I'm not sure if you got the memo.
Yeah. They're about to go away again. The Marvels is coming out. Second time. And man, I mean, look, if you haven't seen Oppenheimer right now, also it's a fucking biopic. You can't spoil
also
a biopic.
Like, read a book. Like, have a look what happened in World War II.
It's an amazing movie. I know you say it's not only your favorite movie of the year, but also your favorite Nolan.
I think it could be his most accomplished film. And it might be his best film, I think. Because it's him like having the robust roboticness that he's so good at. But I find that it's also like quite a personal human film, which I think audiences who might have felt alienated by his previous work would love. I think it's definitely top two or three for me. It could be my favorite.
I think it is absolutely fantastic. But like for
it's
me,
it's an insane movie. And I think that also it's like probably his most important film. Like it's going to be a film that's watched for like 20, 30 years, like taught in schools about like ethics and stuff like that, I believe.
It's cool that both this and Killers, the last hour is a trial.
Just dudes talking.
Yeah. And for
some
me,
some of the best lawyers.
The best hour of the movie is that final hour.
Yeah.
And I spent the entirety of the first 2 hours being like, yep,
this hour is going to be
this
crazy.
This movie's amazing, but God, I can't wait for that last hour. And
yeah.
For me, it has my two favorite performances in the movie. Overall best performance in Oppenheimer for me. And I was thinking it already after the first viewing, but now more than ever, it's Robert Downey Jr.'s movie.
He's going to win.
So goddamn good in this. And not only is it his movie, I'm like, it's a Strauss movie for me now.
Well,
like Oppenheimer, like these things. I know, but like, I guess I'm really, really invested in his downfall by the end of the movie. You know what? Maybe this comes from seeing Killers of the Flower Moon, because spoilers for that, like very light spoilers, but like you do spend a great deal of that movie wishing for the comeuppance of some of the main characters, and maybe are left unsatisfied in that department, which I don't fault the film for.
But
Strauss
baby
cops it so hard in this movie. And the best thing is that, like, okay, so my favorite performances besides RDJ, I love Emily Blunt. I think she's
so good.
But I don't like her in the first half of the movie because she's just like a shit mom who hates children. She's your mate. She's Kiko.
Yeah. I mean, she was that in real life, I guess.
Yeah. You know? I know, totally. Yeah, I know.
There's no like Emily Blunt. It's her character.
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean...
She's probably a great mother.
The performance is like is.
Well, yeah, she's like a mentally...
She's committed to... it's a bummer.
Alcoholic.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
But when she is demanding that Oppie stick up for himself and
so good.
When she's like, I don't like your phrase to the lawyer.
One of the
that
best scenes.
Is so good. One of my favorite scenes.
That'll be her clip at the Oscars.
But hilariously, man, my favorite scene in the whole fucking movie is Rami Malek delivering that bit about like...
My favorite's Han Solo.
Alden Ehrenreich. Yeah, those two. The one-two punch of those two against Strauss.
Just the end when they're like the press is all out there.
Yeah.
And he's like... Just dropping the little
it's
Kennedy bomb.
But the funniest thing is that because I, you know, obviously in when the first time I saw it, you see Rami Malek in the background of a couple scenes.
Yeah, he's in like four.
What
scenes.
The fuck was he like?
Yeah,
why?
What, he's the guy that prevented Strauss from getting the.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing: watching the second time, in both of the scenes that we introduced to his character, before he goes, you know, stands before the court.
Mm.
What is it like a?
It's like a judicial.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Courts, I mean, right, it's a reevaluate. Yeah. Oh wait, Strauss or
for Strauss? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's like a hearing, a congressional hearing.
But Oppenheimer's a dick to him.
He just like shuts him down.
Like pulls the pen out of his,
knocks
out of
it out of his hand,
and then the other thing knocks the clipboard.
That's why I like him so much.
Yeah, but he's like he bats for Oppenheimer just because he's a scientist, man.
Well, because
like,
he's the god. He's like the Michael Jordan was a prick and he was a great basketball player, you know? And you got to ride for the goats.
I just like, I was cheering in that bit, man.
It's
like,
so good.
Yeah. Oh man, my dad, like we hadn't seen it. He clapped at the end of the movie.
Dude, it's
he's
it's
like, oh, no one ever claps anymore. I'm like, Dad, this movie's been out for 4 months.
It's so
like,
good. Yeah. It's so good, man. I love it. It's so impeccably paced, I think.
Yeah. No, it's masterpiece. It's absolute masterpiece.
And it has such distinct act. Like, it is a superhero movie. Like, it's his origin for the first third. And then he puts the hat on and everything. You know what I mean? He has, like, a suit-up scene.
Yeah.
And then it's the bomb sequence. And then it's, like, the fallout.
And he just wants to be friends with Matt Damon so bad.
He wants to fucking be boys hard. And Matt Damon doesn't let him in.
And then, like, even when, like, his, like, scientist co-workers shit on him at the kangaroo court that he has to be a part of.
He's like,
he shakes their hands and like, yeah.
And so when Benny Safdie like roasts him, he's like, shakes his hand on the way out.
And
then
what's her name? And then Emily
Blunt hates that shit.
Yeah.
What's Casey Affleck's still so terrifying.
Yeah. So
amazing performance.
Yeah. So great. But this
that
movie,
whisper.
It has the two stupidest scenes of the year.
Well, I think one of them is the best scene of the year.
Just yeah,
the coming and
the sex scene is so stupid.
It's
so wild. It's just it uses a sex scene in the most effective way later in the movie.
Yeah,
when it's all
incredible.
Emily Blunt's character
court.
Can see in the
except
court.
When you're watching it in India and they're all fully
clothed.
like digitally added clothes.
But yeah, her getting up, like mid...
Getting
mid,
Oppenheim mid fuck and nutting and saying, I am become death.
Yeah, but it's just so funny, like how like she like gets up
she,
and,
like, negs
and,
him.
And he's like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think and it's then she goes she's and grabs a random book.
She's just like,
she, yeah.
She's like, you're so dumb. You think books are cool. Try and read this. And he's like, all right. And then she's like, oh.
Yeah. So that scene is really funny. But the stupidest scene in the whole movie is like after one of the strongest scenes in the movie, Emily Blunt, you know, testifies.
And oh, like, wait, Einstein's behind
then,
the car.
And then like he says goodbye to her in the car. The car drives off and dude, Einstein's just rules. There.
He's just waiting there. It's funny, man. Like he does a Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Oppenheimer's Gordon and then it's Batman. Like the car goes, he's like, hey, number two. I'm like, is he waiting there all night? Did he come with the lawyer?
He's just randomly walking towards the I guess it. I don't know.
It's awesome. He's just like Oppie, hello. Wild stuff.
Very funny. But I mean, the discussion they have is good.
I think it's going to win Movie of the Year. Yeah. Best Picture, rather.
And there's a few unknown candidates that we haven't seen yet.
I think it's just like, what is this? Like his 10th film?
Yeah.
I think there's just going to be like, thanks for saving cinema. You know what I mean? Like, thanks for like writing and dying for like getting rid of smooth motion on TVs. Like that. Oh, I think that's Amazon.
Oh, cool. We've got a very special guest, an Amazon delivery.
Jeff Bezos.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
What's in the box?
What'd you get?
Let's find out. Hey Siri, turn on lounge room lights.
It looks like a book. I bet is it a book about movies?
I reckon you're pretty close. No, I know what it is.
Is it a book, like an art book about like lizard designs in the Star Wars universe?
Came out today. It's probably the best title of a book ever.
Okay. Werner Herzog's autobiography, a memoir.
Memoir.
Every man for himself and God against all.
Is that maybe the hardest cover you've ever seen with title combo?
It's him in like a hazmat suit.
Yeah,
but he's taken the mask off. Mask off.
What for one of his docos he did a few years ago?
Wow.
What I'm doing is I've got that. But
how would a fun book to read it in like his voice?
Well,
is there an audiobook?
So you've just you beat me to what I was saying. I'm actually getting the book version, as you can see here, and I'm gonna read along.
Recently, I came upon another unverified account.
Dude, easiest purchase ever. What was it, like $30?
20.
Bargain. Wolf. And having murdered his own daughter.
Let's fucking go.
It's unbelievable. I'm like, I want this though, but I'm going to do it at the same time. Just in bed with the AirPods on. How good is that?
Yeah, wow. That's dude, awesome. I had no idea. How many books has he narrated any other books?
He has another one which is based on interviews.
Right.
And he has a fiction book. But this is the first one he's written just by himself. And it seems to be about... I guess like his philosophies in life, creating like film. I mean, it just came out, so I don't know too many reviews.
What a treasure.
oh, he's the best. And I've been rewatching a bunch of his docos recently to help with the doco I'm working on, just like writing, like just recording like things that
you're like, yeah, I should put more bears in my documentary.
I need to be German. Can we do a German accent? What's the read on that? It's sick. I'm going to start that tonight, but I'm going to just crank those AirPods first and just read along with
The audiobook in the car or like on a walk is such a
it's
vibe.
It's so good. Yeah. I do find sometimes I'll drift a bit and then have to go back a lot. So if it's like
then it's like bonus.
It's a 21-hour book. I'll probably clock in at 29 to 30 hours with all the 10 minutes. I'll start like transcendental meditating or something or just like thinking about other stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm not listening. And plus, Werner's voice is so calming.
So back to the IMAX experience.
Yeah, the IMAX.
The trailers that I got before Killers of the Flower Moon. Uh-huh.
We both
fucking
the same.
Dog shit.
The Marvels and Wonka.
Wonka and Aquaman 2.
Oh yeah, Aquaman 2, like, just it doesn't feel like a real movie. Like, they're burying that. I know. What?
But it just feels like extra.
Have you read
insulting
that? Is there a big Hollywood Reporter piece that came out that I've saved to read, but it was just like
you're waiting for Werner Herzogden to read it.
I'm waiting to I'm writing an AI that'll have Werner read it. But it speaks about all the like fucked up shit on set, like how Momoa was drunk all the time. Did you see how he like dressed up as Johnny Depp and scared Amber Heard?
Yeah. Who knows how like how true it all
apparently
is.
Apparently this movie is just like...
I definitely
according
believe,
to like industry and
I believe
test
victims
screenings.
Who have seen this movie that
it's it's a disaster. People have walked out of screenings because I guess like if you don't want to be spoiled for Aquaman 2 in any of the slightest way, skip ahead 30 seconds. This is your warning. I know you don't care.
Who gives a shit, dude?
But there's a scene where like apparently like...
Aquaman dies.
No, like a baby gets killed on screen and people were just like, what? And just left. I think like Black Manta just murks children. Like maybe it's like, I don't know. Does Aquaman have a kid? Maybe.
I don't know.
I think like you just see a baby get killed on screen. It's pretty funny.
Aqua baby.
It's pretty
Aquaman
funny. Like,
Junior.
Warner
dies.
Brothers' last two big DC offerings. I'm not including Blue Beetle because that wasn't like a big offering. It was just kind of... I think it was on for 2 days here. But The Flash, very famous for a baby scene.
Babies in the microwave scene.
And now there's this one, just like a baby murder movie.
Fuck, it rocks that I snuck into that movie. It's like the one thing that I'll take to my grave is like, yeah, I did endure it, but I snuck into it.
It lost so much money.
That rocks.
Yeah, it's sick. People are fed up. General audiences are fully fed
people
up.
People want less microwaved babies in their movies.
I don't know if I should be Call celebrating crazy. This is a victory as much as the people not wanting to see The Flash, but the Marvels is tracked to like open to very little money, but I have a feeling that's to do with the color of people's skin and the what's between their legs, and it's not a penis.
I mean, I feel like it's like a muddled combo of main
it's a muddled
characters.
Message.
That
yeah,
because
like, the first movie was super successful financially, but I think this is like, this is going to be Marvel and Big Kev finding out that people don't watch those shows.
The trailer
two of
sucks
the characters
so much too.
Are characters that have never been on
well,
screen.
Well, even me, like I know all about Ms. Marvel. I couldn't even, I can't remember the name of the other character.
Like Starlight or something? I don't know. There's something yeah. named Combust.
I know that she's like related to
the mum,
the character from the first Captain Marvel movie.
Captain Marvel in the 90s.
But, and then like the way she gets her powers, how are they going to explain?
She walks through a red barrier.
How are they going to explain that in the
movie?
Dude,
it'd be awesome if they just show it on...
Previously. Like in
And she just walks through the red mist twice.
Twice.
And, yeah. So that first time, you ain't getting powers.
No, everyone
twice
knows.
Twice though.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit. I don't know, man.
But also, I fucking... The day I stop hearing that badly put together epic remix of Beastie Boys Intergalactic.
Wow.
Yeah, especially when
it just has the last words of every verse.
Wow. Profile.
Wow.
That's like me... at like year 9 house parties.
Yeah, when you don't know the lyrics.
Exactly.
You
just go, wow.
Stop. Profile. I said. So good.
But yeah, I've got very, very low expectations for that movie.
I think Marvel do too.
I feel like...
They should have done Captain Marvel too. The fact is the Marvel, I think...
Exactly.
That's like,
I agree
it's
with
detrimental
you.
To the brand. They should have been in it. Put him in there in a fucking scene or whatever.
But also, it looks like the villain from what I've seen in that
just
in
some
that
bitch.
Trailer is, but like
just the same chick from like Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Exactly, it's just like some space lady.
Yeah,
like and who wants to destroy a world?
So
like,
weird.
We've
hey.
Seen that variation of that
in
character
every
so
movie.
Many times. Who cares,
is
man?
Kang in it? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
Kang.
I mean, at least that's why I kind of like the weird Doctor Strange too, because it, like the villain is Scarlet Witch, and she wants to kill everybody and she doesn't care.
It's just great that they have a villain that's someone we know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I hate these like laundry lists, like, they're here and then gone again. What's a villain that's come back? Zemo? Great. Cool dude.
But then, yeah, I mean, but kind of wasted in that.
Wasted, but at least brought back, I guess, Winter Soldier, technically.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
He's black now in Wakanda.
Thanos.
Thanos, Kang.
They killed him. Bring back Kang.
He is.
Why not Kang? Sorry, I'm thinking of Claw. Bring back Claw.
Oh, yeah. Why do they fucking kill him? That's one of the worst mistakes.
Yeah.
Black Panther, I think, is like a great entry in Marvel's film and like an important cultural film for...
Look, 75% of the movie rocks. Yeah.
But the worst thing about that movie, they kill Killmonger and Claw. Like two of the coolest people.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Could, two of the people I bet they wish they didn't kill.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Anyway, the trailers that I got before Oppenheimer yesterday.
Oh, different variety.
Dune 2.
Awesome.
Off the charts. So
now
good.
We're talking.
Napoleon.
Amazing.
And then the fucking Marvels again. But
yeah,
two out of three ain't bad. Better than the fucking zero for three.
For Napoleon, just reminds me of a movie that would have come out 20 years ago, in the best possible way.
It's crazy.
When like every other month of the movies, there was just like some post Gladiator, big budget historical epic with like huge actors.
Yeah, Vanessa Kirby being like, "Eat my pussy, Napoleon."
Yeah, yeah. Eat my French toast.
I'm seeing that in IMAX.
Eat my croissant. Yeah, I'm pumped. And then Ridley Scott's on his bullshit and I was like, yeah, when it comes out on Apple, it's going to be 4.5 hours. Like, I'm getting my director's cut on streaming. It's just like, of course you are, man.
Ridley.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge year for Apple with Killer and Napoleon getting like theatricals. And The Killer's out this week.
Dude, I was probably going to go see it tomorrow.
I'm going to go see it, but it's just like, how come there isn't like a song and dance and they're only putting it on for 4 days on Netflix?
Is it Netflix only
like
four,
don't yeah, yeah, it's only on for like 3 or 4 days.
Gotta see this motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'll catch it this weekend.
Big Finch.
Big Finch. Finch from Just Shoot Me.
Yeah.
Is that his character's name? David Spade?
Yeah, Finch. Yeah, Finch.
What did he do? Was he like a photocopier or something?
I think everyone in that show was a photocopier. Yeah, well, showing for exactly 1 week.
Pardon?
The Killer is showing for exactly 1 week.
Netflix are fucked. Remember Glass Onion?
Yeah.
And it came out and they're like,
it would have been such a
hit. We're showing it for 2 nights at like small independent cinemas. And it's like, what are you doing? That movie was so like lightning in a bottle and attracting a crowd of people who don't go to movies normally. Like, you know, super mainstream. People who just want fun, but want like Death on the Nile fun. And yeah. So Ryan Johnson said he's like hard at work on part 3. Mm-hmm. Already got the like story going.
Yeah, he's like, I'm writing it. We've got lots of,
you know what, it's gonna
it.
Be full of guys.
So many people are writing
from
it now.
Killers of Flower Moon and Oppenheimer. I reckon he's gonna get a guy from each.
Yeah, okay.
I'm
gonna say two guys from each.
Wow. I reckon Josh Hartnett's gonna be in it.
Yeah, he's amazing in it.
He's so fucking
my
good, man.
Mr. Lawrence,
he's so good. Yeah. Merry Christmas. I send him a card every year. He's aged so well as well, I think.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Because like,
yeah,
he looks like his age.
Ironically reminds me of a guy I went to primary school with.
The teacher? A teacher you
No, just
school?
Like this, I guess he was like just a tall kid in my year for some reason. You know when like you're like, there's like that one tall kid in your year
and you're like, why do you like have...
that kid's enormous. Yeah. No one will ever be bigger than him.
But then you see that tall kid when you're in high school.
Yeah.
In year 6 or whatever. And you're like, oh, you look 11. Yeah, he's great. It's funny too because he just like, he's so jockey compared to all the other scientists.
Yep.
Yeah. But he's nice.
He is nice.
He leaves when he's going to testify against Oppie. He doesn't do it.
Yeah. So before we get deep into the cinema zone again, we're going to take a
C zone.
Small detour to the fucking GameSpot.
To the G zone. Yeah. The G spot.
It's been a massive week for games.
Especially if you're Messrs. Nintendo and Sony,
you could be playing the Sonic game on your Xbox as
probably.
Well.
I
received the Sonic Head game
from Amy.
Amy
Cheese.
Eat my pussy, Sonic. Vanessa Kirby as Amy the Hedgehog
in Sonic 3.
But yeah, obviously we both got Mario Wonder. Super Mario Bros. Wonder on Friday.
They need to lose the bros.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like Super Mario Wonder. So like, it's not called Super Mario Brothers World. You know what I mean?
I think the fact that, I don't know, I think it's too far away from New Super Mario Bros. Without, I don't know.
It needs I reckon they just need to lose bros.
Because there's some sisters in this bitch as well.
There's some fucking dinosaurs and rabbits too. You know what I mean? Like, there'd be sisters in here. There'd be mushrooms. It's crazy.
Who are you playing as?
Dude, who do you think?
Mario?
Yeah, of course. What's the name of the game called?
Super Mario Bros. I'm playing as one of the bros.
Yeah. Well, that's I was playing right. Mario Daisy. One player and Luigi in two player again with Noon.
Cool. I wonder who's better at playing video games, Noon or my two children combined.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Archie's really, really fun to play with.
Yeah.
The multiplayer in this is a bit different to how the last few Mario games.
We can't sabotage people as easily.
No, but you run can ahead. Way worse than you would ever expect.
Yeah.
So is this in by previous going fast? In the new games, like New Super Mario Brothers games, if you like wanted to, you could put yourself in a bubble and then you would just float around until someone pops you. But like essentially you can just like you could do an entire level just without floating in a bubble without doing anything. And so when shit gets hard, just be like, put yourself in a bubble, Tilly, and so she'd be in a bubble. In this one, you can't do that. If you can push L and R and that turns you into a ghost, because when you die in, even if you're playing just single player, you don't die instantly. You turn into a ghost. You have 5 seconds to find.
Oh, that's if you're playing online.
Someone
mode.
Playing. Oh, so if you're playing offline
yeah,
mode.
Yeah, it's too distracting.
Okay, right, sure. But you basically have 5 seconds to either find the other player, like if you're playing in a multiplayer, and if you touch them, you come back to life. So you can force yourself into a ghost state. Then you have 5 seconds to quickly find another player.
Sure.
And that leads to some stressful situations in its own right. But what you can do is you can play as Yoshi or Nabbit.
Yep.
And those guys don't take any damage from enemies. They can still fall down pits and die.
You can't get power ups, right?
And you can't turn into an elephant.
Does the badge work?
Yeah, the badges work. Mm. You better believe we're playing with the one that if you fall off the ledge,
you get an extra bounce.
You bounce back up.
Yeah.
But because Tilly doesn't take damage, if I ever take damage, basically it puts, there's always a leader.
Yeah, someone with a crown on your head. Yeah.
So if I take...
It's the first player, right? Or is the person who finishes the level last? Like
it's, yeah, it's basically level. Whoever's doing the best in the level.
So I was wearing a crown constantly.
Yeah. Same. But sometimes Archie will be like, oh, Dad, I saw a secret back there. So I'll go back there. And then because Tilly's technically further in the level than I am,
she'll
get the crown. And then the camera focuses...
So wait, when you say further, it literally just means... Some distance levels. Towards the flag.
Some levels, yes. Not all of
it
them.
Doesn't mean like based on things you've collected.
It does sometimes. It's bizarre. But yeah, if I take damage, if I get hit by a Koopa shell, and you know, if she does too, but she doesn't take damage because she's Yoshi.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she's the leader now.
What color Yoshi is she?
We change every three levels. I'm like, okay, change your character. That's fun.
So weird.
But that's leading to some very confusing situations because she's getting used to her character always being one thing. And then, you know, me and Archie are Toadette and Daisy. And it's like, yeah. I normally play as those characters. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, the camera just locks in on whoever is the crowned character.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so we're like, oh, Tilly, can you go over to the left so we can explore over here?
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, which way is left?
Yeah. Like, well, I was like with Noon, except he was asking me to slow down because I was just like powering through.
Yeah. Yeah, so Archie can do that with me now, which is really, cool. Really fun having my little
hitter. It's, you know, it's a beautiful game.
It is so fucking fun.
It's so charming. From the music to the colors of each level
To the fact that every single level
is different
has a thing in it that makes the level like 10 times crazier.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the ideas,
if there was like two or three a world, you'd be like, that's sick. But it's like one for every level, and some of them you just like it hits the highs of when you threw your cappy on something bizarre in Odyssey, and you're like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm a pipe, or you know what I mean? I can't believe I'm this, and it's so cool.
Like the snow level, I don't really love. Mario snow levels, like, you know, that you slip around on the ice.
You do.
It's just white everywhere.
Yeah.
Who cares? In this one, you hit the wonder seed and suddenly
huge,
like snowballs beneath you. And so you've got to basically like run atop this like rolling snowball that takes up
like
the entire bottom half
and you're
of,
like
the screen.
Running. Yeah, it's insane.
And it even like bowls up the flagpole.
Yeah, so good.
It's like, yeah. And then my favorite wonder seed that we've come across so far, I think I meant like the fourth world.
Yeah.
You get it and suddenly the level is isometric.
Oh, that was great.
Top down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, you're basically like walking through the backgrounds.
So
yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah. It's insane.
This game is like just so sick, and I think it's, you know,
it's like the most Nintendo game they've made since Odyssey maybe.
And so Archie's like, he was really, really like, oh, when we get it, we've just got to play it and finish it really fast so I can be the first one at my school to finish it. But what Archie found out was that he doesn't have any other friends that have psychopaths for dads that get every single game. Yeah. So they all have to wait for Mario Wonder for Christmas.
Lol.
So I'm like, Archie, like,
let's take our time.
Exactly. And and so we play a few,
because this ain't happening again for some time.
Every morning, and then they go to school, and then I go back and I 100% all the levels that we've done so far.
Yeah,
hit that flagpole.
I'm that guy. Yeah, I'm like, if I get 2 of the 3 coins or don't get the flagpole, I'm like, what the fuck? I just start going crazy. But then I'm also like now at a point where I'm like, okay, they probably have to introduce some like badges that are going to help with the reason why I'm not getting that.
Oh, okay.
Of the, have you found like the secret world?
They're fucked up.
I spent maybe 30 lives doing one today.
The one with the timed? Yeah. Dude, so I had enough trouble, like, just doing.
And you're going up, up, and you just have to eventually. In my head, I was like, this must sound so dumb for people listening who haven't played it, but I was jumping as the sound went.
So, but let's explain it. So, it's basically like a timed platform that only exists for like a second.
Yeah.
But
there are these in like 3D World, Odyssey, Galaxy, similar to, not the same, but similar to those worlds and courses where if you jumped, there'd be 2 colored platforms under you and it would flip from like one to the other and you had to jump left to right. Similar to that, except this is completely in time to music in the game. And there's a timer and you're traversing vertically and there's like goops coming from the bottom that as soon as you touch it, you die.
Yeah.
I did it today. Handheld. I was playing on the
TV. Yeah, you got to play the extremely hard platforming shit handheld for sure.
Yeah. I was playing handheld. And I was just like, I'm going to try it now. And it's one of those, it's that classic story of when you walk away for a few hours and come back and you just hit it the first turn. And you're like, but I ended up using, you know, the extra jump, the one that where you spin.
Yes.
That one.
I did the one because there's an earlier variation of that just called jump, jump, jump.
The 3 ones, bump, bump, bump.
It's like it's still set to a timer, but you've just got to, like, you haven't got to climb up as well.
Oh, I thought you meant the badge. I was thinking about the badge, sorry. I use the badge that gives you an extra jump.
Sure.
Yeah.
I used the badge.
Yeah, that, it's that like horizontal.
It puts extra bricks around.
Oh, the question mark and one. So that
that made some of the platforms longer, which was super good.
Okay,
yeah, cool. I might do that for
you. I was trying to figure out what that one does.
It's great.
It just adds bricks to existing bricks?
Just like a few random bricks around the course. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, that is good.
It's such a fun game. Because I was kind of like lamenting to Archie, like, oh, it kind of sucks that there aren't many new power-ups, but the badges are new power-ups.
Yeah, it's like, that's the real
power-up. And then Wonder Seeds as well, obviously.
They're the power-ups, really. Yeah. You know what I mean? It kind of...
I just love how many, like, new enemy types there are. Like,
but having said that, the power-ups in this are, like, all so different compared to, like, say, a new Super Mario Brothers, where it's like, ice, fire. Like, you've got the bubble, which you create your own platforms, which
so
is
good.
So cool for a Mario game. Like, it feels like something that a modder would make.
Yep.
Then the drill is amazing because you can be traversing on ceilings. That's so sick. And then the elephant is just, like, your classic Mario. You know, you can shoot.
It's so fun being the elephant.
I love the elephant. It looks gorgeous. Like, and then, obviously, the fire. Trunk.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I know what you mean. At the start, I was like, oh, there's... But then I was like, no, all these 4 are so varied that you actually do have to, like...
I haven't, like... Drill has not really showed up much yet.
I've done a bunch of drill ones. It comes a lot in level 5, World 5. Cool. It's like a drilly, rocky place.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Drilly, rocky place. Love
it. I got to play a drill level, which I played again when I went to the preview because I think they were wanting to show me all of the, like, hats.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Just the animation's amazing. Just the backgrounds and how there's like 3 layers of backgrounds that move. Just your shadow on things in the background. Like, it's just so full of life compared to the new games where it's just like, that's like zombie Mario.
Yeah, totally.
There's no life in those games. It's just like very plain. Even the colors are so muted. It's so cool.
Goes on about, oh, how good is that Starry Night level in Mario's New Super Mario Bros. U? Where it's just, the background just has Vincent van Gogh's
Starry Night
thing. And it's like, yeah.
It's fine.
Like, it's just the background.
Yeah.
This
fine.
Is like, yeah.
This is the whole game. Just this looks gorgeous. Running perfectly at 60 frames constantly, whether it's docked or undocked. It's so buttery smooth. It feels good too. There's like a nice it's a nice weight to Mario and all the characters. Like, it feels
and
like,
the pacing is amazing too. Like, it's not just like level.
Yeah,
it's
like, I love those little break games
yeah. And it's challenges.
The knockouts.
I love the ones where you've got to find all of the
so
hidden
awesome.
Stuff. Yeah, it's so good.
The Wiggler races.
You've got to find Captain Toad in every map and he gives you coins.
He's always hiding around. Yeah, yeah.
You know, collect. You can spend all your money on standees. Like,
yep.
And it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's so good. It should and hopefully will be the blueprint going forward.
Yeah, totally.
So I've heard there's like a direct next week.
Whoa, really?
Probably Mario RPG.
They've got enough games coming out. Because
there's Thousand Year Door.
Isn't Wario coming out first?
That's right. We have WarioWare.
Then RPG.
Mario RPG. Thousand Year Door next year, is it?
Yeah, I don't know when, but yeah.
That'd be great.
Can't wait. It's
really exciting.
It's crazy that the Switch is still sick.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
Like,
yeah.
I'm still playing. Like, I'm playing this brand new, awesome looking Switch game on the one that I bought at
2017?
Launch.
2017 is it the
yeah. And it has a crack down the back of it, and it's still goes hard.
It's crazy. Yeah, these things don't break.
Just don't try and open the eShop while you've got Mario Wonder or another recent game open. It's like slow as a motherfucker.
It's insane. eShop is insane.
Did you see? Like, I sent you. There's a drink driving.
I didn't know that was real.
It's real. There's a drink driving simulator game.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get
on,
that
on
shit.
The issue. I think I'll get it too. I did buy an amazing a game by a developer so cheap that they didn't even translate it to English before they put it on the.
Oh, is this watermelon?
Dude, it's
everyone's
so good.
Talking about it. Is it like cookie cutter though?
No. It's like Threes.
Sure.
Do you remember Threes? Yeah. The iPhone game where you combine numbers and then you make bigger numbers by combining the numbers. This is like Tetris, where you're dropping, but you get to choose when and where to drop these fruit that fall down into a fruit bowl. And when two fruit of the same type hit each other, they combine and make a bigger fruit.
Yeah.
So you fruit? There's cherries, then there's strawberries, then there's grapes, mandarins, oranges, apples, peaches, nashi pears, pineapples, honeydew melons, and finally watermelons. So you want to make a watermelon. That's the right. End of the game. And I saw clips on TikTok because it's like gone viral. Everyone's trying to play it.
Why has it gone viral, do you think?
Because it's a deceptively simple game that is extremely addictive and fun and colorful. It's great. Like, you know, I love my dumb puzzle games, and I feel like this is
the dumbest puzzlist.
No, I think it's a killer. Like, it's up there with some of the most classic. So it's a really well thought out game. It's
cool.
The only thing letting it down is like how crap the presentation is.
But does it look
that kind of
shit?
That kind of adds to it. No, like the designs of the fruit is cool, but just the fact that like it's pretty no frills, but also it's all in Japanese.
That's cool.
But they've released it on the eShop as Watermelon Game.
That's awesome. No, I love that. It's like $5, right?
Yeah.
Guys are making a killing.
You can play a shitty browser version, which is still good, but it rocks. It rocks hard on the Switch.
That's so cool to hear. World of Horror is apparently coming out finally today or tomorrow. It's been
for Switch. I bought that on my Mac.
Yeah, I bought it on the Mac like 4 years ago. I've been like, this is gonna be a perfect Switch game.
Well, I've started playing my gaming PC, but I'm playing like I've been playing a sim game where you become a sticker designer.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Very
that's
very
have
fun.
You made some
game.
Good ones.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a game that you play with a mouse. I've never had a platform that I could, you know.
Finally, this man's clicking.
So, exactly.
Let him click.
Let that man click.
Hold up.
Yeah, but that's. Should we leave the G zone and enter the F zone?
Yeah, we haven't really played Spidey yet, which is why I haven't spoken about it. But I'm gonna dive in.
Yeah, I've got it. I ordered it. It's gonna deliver tomorrow. I'm gonna spend most of Friday playing it.
Gotta say, it's nice to have a game. I was telling Levins as he rocked up that has 120 hertz if your TV can support it. Just
right,
buttery smooth. And
can you play with a mouse?
Well, I'm going to, yeah, there's that USB port at the front of the PS5. I'm going to jam that in there and click away. But yeah, really lovely. Insomniac, crazy guys.
It looks gorgeous, what I've seen.
Yeah,
it so far,
and but. I just like, even though I played the first hour and it's like classic, like the first game where I think it was, maybe it was like a Mr. Negative breakout and it was like that great cake slice of a game where you get to like traverse the city, but also like stop a helicopter, all that.
Yep.
That was a great sequence for the start of this with you and Peter and Miles.
Can't wait to mash the triangle button 100 times.
You mash
times.
That, you gotta, yeah, but it was just like, yeah, the polish on these games is crazy. The combat, it was just so smooth. You're jumping between both Spider-Man and Very cool. It was very awesome.
I saw a video of like someone recorded like 2 minutes of dialogue of just people in the background.
NPCs have full conversations apparently. Yeah. Yeah, they have like,
and it's all it's all improv. Like it's insane. Improv actors to just say a bunch of weird shit.
It's insane. Yeah. 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 It's crazy. I barely scratched the surface, but I'm really looking forward to it. These games are just so polished. And I was just playing it. I was like, oh man, I really love Insomniac Spider-Man take. Like the characters. I loved Otto in the last game. Like I really like this universe they've built, and I'm just hoping it maintains that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's games are back.
Yeah, movies are back, games are back. We had our
comics are back. I'm reading so many fucking comics at the moment. Like
American
American comics, yeah.
Damn King.
Yeah, Dan Klaus.
Yeah. Holy shit. Tell me about him.
I think like one of my first big obsessions around the time before the movie came out, Ghost World was the big adaptation of his comics. When it got announced,
one of her like first big noticeable.
I think
films.
It came out in like 2000, and so in 99.
Fuck, that long ago? That's so crazy.
I worked at Gowings, which is a men's store that was around the corner from a Borders Books, and they had a massive import graphic novel section, and so they had everything that Fantagraphics had published to Dan Klaus, and so I bought like David Boring and an 8-Ball collection, and the original Ghost World, and like I was obsessed with. It was a great, because I was already very familiar with Robert Crumb. And this felt like a natural progression for me.
The Crumman.
And over the years, like he's never fallen off. Dan Klaus has put out so many great graphic novels. A few years ago, put out one called Patience, which is like him kind of dipping his toe into like the sci-fi realm. Oh. And it's really good. Like time travel.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Excellent. It's like, because he's like a, offbeat, humorous
sad guy comic man.
No, I wouldn't say sad. Yeah, I mean like he definitely deals with some like awful shit in some of his comics, but he has one very Twin Peaks-esque comic called Like a Velvet Glove Cast in Iron. Fucking love his shit, man.
But I mean, I love Ghost World,
The latest comic is called Monica, and it kind of flits in between telling the life story of this girl named Monica and then with these weird genre stories that like you're like, oh, does this fit into her greatest story? I'm not quite finished the book yet. I like Mario Wonder, I'm like reading one of the like chapter-ish parts at a time and then putting it down and processing it, thinking about it.
The Wonderman,
because I mean this is like his first book in like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, right.
So I'm cherishing every page. It's so good. His art's always been amazing, and
nice
and
set as well.
The writing is killer too. What's that?
Like a nice presentation.
Obviously. Oh yeah, man. Yeah, Fantagraphics never miss. But then the big surprise for me was last week I saw a page, the first page of a comic called I Am Stan.
Oh yeah, yeah. You sent me photos of this.
A graphic novel about Stan Lee.
You might know him as the guy in
Kevin
Captain
Feige's
Marvel.
Dad, I think.
Yeah, Kevin Feige's dad.
The front cover is not like very like, oh, I need to read this book. The fact that it's called I Am Stan as well, like stupid name for a book too.
Yeah.
But the way
it's in reference to Sean Penn as the mentally handicapped adult Sam in the movie.
I only buy books that have references to I Am Sam in the title. Yeah. But yeah, this book is like, it's so matter of fact in the way it, well, because it's just like basically recounting moments from Stan Lee's life, be they moments that Stan Lee talked about in interviews or moments from other people's memoirs about their encounters with Stan Lee. His name is Tom Scioli, and he's like a graphic novel. He's a cartoonist. He did one a while ago called GoBots. He did a Jack Kirby graphic novel ago that I've bought since we're finishing the Stan one. I bought the hardcover of that one though, because the hardcover cover was way nicer.
Hard.
He did how Marvel released those grand design books where they basically got like alternative cartoonists like Ed Piskor like retell the story of the X-Men.
Yeah.
I think he did Fantastic Four or Hulk, one of those ones. But it's so good because it tells like you get the highs, you get the amazing moments where he like against everything that he was going up against, World War II and his job, his shitty boss, the fact that comics are going in and out of fashion. He still has these success stories finally after years of trying with his superhero characters. But then you have like him at the top of his game, like saying some stupid shit and like
interesting that that's in there.
Yeah, well,
what's
I mean,
stupid shit?
What's not? It's so. oh, just like, you know, like he's pretty bad to some people that worked before him. He like refuses to give proper credit to the co-creators of his characters. But at the same time, like, it does provide this context that, like, Stan Lee kind of fucked people over, but the entire time he was working, people were fucking him over. And he kind of, like, I don't think they justify the decisions that Stan Lee makes, like, you know, the bad ones, but they just provide context.
Sure.
And I think it's cool to see
just both. Like Oppenheimer, you know, a flawed individual. Yeah, with a lot
Stan
of power.
Lee, the second most important man in the world.
After Kevin Smith. I can't believe that you sent me a screenshot of Kevin Smith is in it. Frame where he's in Morats, and then you also see Jason Lee.
Yeah, so yeah, Kevin Smith is like, is
about the Hulk line or something.
Yeah, he's like trying to get him to, you know, be crass, and yeah, Stan Lee's like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know, Kev.
But then yeah, it gets real sad towards the end, because instead of like recounting books or interviews, it recounts like
his wife's
YouTube
money.
Footage of like, just like the, you know, the last years of Stan Lee, like police interviews and stuff like that. You know, arguments he was having with his daughter.
Yeah, wow.
And then like him maybe getting, the guy that was working for his company. And then like you have him, like he is tricked into starting a company named after himself, and then that goes bankrupt and it's not his fault. And like, it's hectic. Fucking crazy life. Like that those cameos, people were like, oh yeah, you know, we're giving them the respect he deserves, but like he was kind of living off those towards the end, because so much of his money was like squandered away by fucking vultures, you know.
I wish I was one of them.
Yeah, to keep living rich off that Stan Lee money.
Yeah, if that's Stan Lee. I want to be a Feige vulture. I think it's in poor taste that they haven't replaced the Stan Lee cameos with Kevin Feige cameos.
Yeah.
To be honest. I think that's it. That's
and he still says like Excelsior, but with none of the charm.
He's just like, Excelsior.
And like and they still make jokes about like what an old man he is. And he's like, oh, I'm only 50 something.
Yeah. How dripless he is.
Yeah.
It'd be good if, like, Tony Stark would be like, "Hey, who's that blind guy over there who can't dress himself?
Who's that eggplant with a baseball cap?"
That'd be brilliant,
Jarvis.
It is funny that he's now like a face of Marvel and hasn't created anything.
Well, he's
a great producer.
He's the reason that Iron Man, the first Iron Man, was made the way it was, and then because they like got away with this like accidental hit, they just, instead of actually like going, now we should learn how to make movies properly, they just kept letting him make movies his stupid way. And like, not
they,
just
they, that was just like experiment, they were just figuring that shit out as the ground.
Well, so like the biggest tell, like the big most insane thing that I've learned from that book that came out
recently,
I've read like interviews and excerpts and podcasts with the author and stuff like that, but the it's not that they don't just allocate budget for reshoots. It's expected that a director will show the cut of the movie to Kevin,
like,
and then he'll be like, going to add this. Not like the film is missing this. He's just like, oh, but we need to put this in there too.
Which, you
like,
know, you watch Age of Ultron and it's the bath scene. The Thor erotic
bath scene. Quickly before we get deep in the film zone, that new Dune Lego set, one of the best Lego sets. Oh, you already pre-ordered it? That's fucking amazing.
Well, it came with two, if you pre-ordered it, like Lego have a thing now where if it was like, you know, you get gifts of certain price, and I just smashed them on eBay to collectors. So,
oh yeah, okay.
It was just like, cool, I can like save money on that set if I, you know, put the money towards it.
I got the Labyrinth.
Oh, nice.
It's like a Lego Labyrinth.
This is like a tribute to Lego House, which is that museum. So you can build like, there's dinosaur, you know, like,
dinosaurs.
Like, you know, the museum, like the Lego House.
In Billund?
Yeah. So it's like, you can build four things that are featured there, and a Bionicle reissue, which I think like certain type of person will buy on the internet.
I bought Archie the Pac-Man set for his birthday or Christmas at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And
is he rocking with it?
He will, I assume, but it came with the gift was it's like a Lego, like
that's labyrinth. Right, the little game thing. Yeah,
very
yeah.
sick.
That's so sick. I really like the PD Piranha.
Yeah, totally.
Piranha plant rubber.
Unexpected set.
Cool as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they definitely like didn't go as hard as they should have with that NES, like making a television and stuff. Actually, that is a cool set. Maybe I should.
I don't know. I just, there's something about it that I
interactivity of it, the way that you actually,
that's cool. There's just something else I don't like about those sets that I was like, here's a console.
Sure.
I don't know. I like the character stuff. I think that's just like really easy to do.
Sure.
But it is interesting that it looks like they're phasing out the like Mario game sets.
I think the Donkey Kong wave is going to be the last wave.
And now they're just like, oh, turns out people just want like the collector shit, like the Bowser, the question mark block.
Well, I think with the Animal Crossing Lego that we're getting soon, I reckon we'll get Mario like minifigures and stuff like a year after that.
You think so? You think they're finally going to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, just want to let you know that the Mario movie is on Netflix now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I'll ever watch it after that first screening.
I want it on in the background at home just so it normalizes movies at our house.
Yeah, sure. Oh, they've seen it, haven't they? They liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No tears?
No tears.
A dry screening.
Tilly was scared of Bowser and Archie hated the plumbing scene.
That's right, because the dog. That's awesome. And you know what? I hated it too.
Yeah. Do you reckon that's... What's your like... Because we're about to talk about one of your favorite movies of the year. What are down the bottom so far, do you think?
I think Mario just is definitely down at the bottom and...
The Flash is like the rock.
The Flash, the thing is like Mario, as you know, we've spoken about countless amount of time on this pod, just the potential of a Mario movie. Especially in the last decade of... really interesting, subversive takes on iconic characters. I'm thinking of like, you know, the Spider-Verse films. Thinking even, though I haven't seen it, Puss in Boots. Thinking Lego Movie. Like, we are aware that there are different takes. And it just took the fucking cookie cutter 2001 DreamWorks
approach. Totally.
Where pop songs just the like, worst. Yeah, really unimaginative animation. It just like looked too perfect. It's just clean, squeaky clean, and just like... You know, when you do a movie with one for them and one for the adults, like for jokes, you're only hitting half the audience, which think like this is why Pixar is such a great studio, because they aim to hit both constantly. Like,
yeah,
it's a universal joke, so I just find like,
which is your favorite joke from Cars 2?
My favorite joke from Cars 2 is when John Lasseter's
Avatar,
what's his name, Mater. I think he's like got like a geisha outfit on. I've seen it in the trailer. I haven't seen Cars 2. But I say this so many times, but I just remember Cars 2 is like the John Lasseter movie, because it's not even
cars.
About Lightning McQueen, is it? He's like a side character in it. They make Mater the lead. And it's about him accidentally getting embroiled in like a spy scenario. And John Lasseter said, I'm a big goof. And when I travel overseas to promote these movies, I'm always, and now we know he probably meant he was hugging people, but he's like, I always get the customs wrong and I'm just a simple American guy. And that's what this movie's about. It's about Mater and he's a fish out. I'm just like, no one wants that movie. It shows how like small minded you are. Like Pixar movies.
You already made a fish out of water movie.
Yeah. It's called Finding Nemo. It's so much better than this. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. I just have no desire to watch that film ever. But yeah, Mario is a huge disappointment just because it's a dog shit movie. Saw 10. Fast 10.
Yeah, Fast 10.
Fast 10 again.
I probably put Fast 10 a little bit higher than Mario movie.
I like Mario. Like, there were parts of Fast 10 I at least like laughed at. Like, opening scene where his son's doing burnouts. He's like 8-year-old little bees just in a car park doing burnouts with Dom, as if it's like awesome.
Movies I would put below
And it has
Mario.
The ramen noodles.
Roman movie.
Yeah. Roman noodles.
Amazing.
It's Roman noodles line.
I put the Beanie Baby movie I watched on Apple TV.
Oh, I forgot you watched
below
that.
Below Mario movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a great year for movies, obviously, after the drought of the last few years. But with the opening of the floodgates comes some trash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, the opening of this floodgate.
Yeah, we've got out the housekeeping out of the way, and we're going to dive into some motherfucking film shit.
Yeah. And we're going to do a spoiler episode of Killers of the Flower Moon. At some point, I'm going to remember to say Killers first.
I never want you to.
Flowers of the Killer Moon. We realized that not all of our listeners would have seen it yet, so we're putting this one behind the paywall.
That's right.
PayFam this week is going to be all... Or killer, no filler.
Or killer, no flower.
But yeah, we're going to do all Killers of the Flower Moon and pay fans tonight.
This book looks crazy.
Stop talking about the book. You can read it quietly, just don't talk about it while I tell people to go to patreon.com/heyfam, because that's where you find PayFam every single week. We do a bonus episode at the end of every single HeyFam. You're fucked, dude.
I just, I couldn't help it.
Yeah, sometimes we do full spoiler episodes in PayFam, and this week is one of them. I loved Killers of the Flower Moon, and I imagine Angus did too, except for the heat situation.
Oh, I'm going to save my opinion for the podcast. Are we?
Okay,
true. No, I loved it. I think it's great. It's a very important. It's very similar to Oppenheimer in the sense it's like a very important film about you know, America's past in the last 100 years. Very, very different lesson and history lesson, but very interesting meditative procedural films. I find both of them, you know, like they're a film about like showing you set up for something, procedure and fallout, and kind of not a gray area, but like a consciously gray area afterwards. Like, was that a good thing? Like they're quite similar in a lot of parts, I find, in a great way.
We're gonna talk about those similarities, the cast of Killers. We're gonna talk about the direction, where it fits in the Garage in the Rock, Marty conversation.
Which Garage Rockstar has a cameo in?
Yeah.
One of them.
A few wild cameos in this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, big Killers conversation coming right up at patreon.com/HeyFam. $5 a month is all it costs to get 2 episodes of HeyFam every single week, plus access to our Discord community where there is a very healthy discussion of Killers of the Flower Moon already happening right this second. So come join us, patreon.com/HeyFam. See you there.
That'd be a stranger or a killer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.